puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
We are sticking with the theme of local history. We just had a conversation about the open house at the Archives of Manitoba, and now it's time for Gordon Goldsborough and Abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we talking about this week?
Well, every so often we provide updates on previous topics we've considered here on Abandoned Manitoba, and that's what we're doing today.
So where do we start with these updates?
Well, we're going to go back to February of 2020, and that's when I described a one-sheet curling rink. In other words, there was just one sheet of ice, unlike most curling rinks, which have many. And this one is northwest of Carberry, and it was called Summerville, which is kind of an ironic name, considering it was a winter sport. The long, narrow wooden building was featured in my recent book, On the Road to Abandoned Manitoba. But I'm sorry to report that the building has recently collapsed. So unfortunately, this little bit of curling history is gone. However, if anyone is interested in such structures, there is still a one-sheet rink in active use. It's at a place called Roseland, southwest of Brandon, built in 1948. It's believed to be, well, it's not believed to be, it is the only one left in Manitoba, but it is believed to be only one of three in all of Canada. So it's a pretty rare little thing. And in fact, if anybody would like to see inside it, we made a short video about Roseland that is viewable on the Manitoba Historical Society's YouTube channel. And we're going to stay in the Brandon area for our next update, too.
All right, so where are we heading next?
We're going back to July of 2021 when we discussed the former CKX radio building on 8th Street in Brandon. The building was constructed in 1941, so it's been around quite a long time. But the radio station itself, the first in Western Manitoba, dates back to 1928, so almost 100 years ago. The building was vacated by the radio station in 1955. Then it was occupied by a succession of social agencies and businesses. It's been unoccupied for the past several years. When we first talked about the CKX building here, again back in July of 2021, I was led to believe that little of its interior from the radio days had survived. However, I had an opportunity to see inside the building about a year ago, and I was surprised to see that the interior layout was almost completely intact. You know, the two studios, one of them a bit larger, the other one smaller, were still there. Although, you know, one might be hard-pressed to know that. There had been a few modifications through the years, but I had a floor plan that I had found from when the radio building was first constructed. And, say, virtually everything was still intact. 2 months ago, I learned from a friend in Brandon that the building has been sold. But the identity of the buyer and their plans for the building are unknown. So I anticipate another update in sometime in the future.
Now, you mentioned previously that demolition figured into some of these updates. How so?
Yeah, well, I said to our listeners last week, you know, that yes, unfortunately, there is often the prospect of demolition when you're talking about old buildings. So back in October of 2022, I described a project of the Manitoba Historical Society to document old apartment blocks here in Winnipeg. These are 3- and 4-story buildings, and they're especially numerous because in the first couple of decades of the 20th century, Winnipeg was growing rapidly, and apartments were a quick and cost-effective way to provide accommodation for a transient population. Unfortunately, some of these 100-year-old blocks have not been well-maintained, and, well, in some cases, they are standing vacant. So a pair of blocks on Mountain Avenue, the Aber and Bealey blocks, were badly damaged by fire last August. We documented, by the way, their post-fire condition using a drone. We flew overhead so you could actually see the damage to the top floor. And again, this is in a short video on our YouTube channel. A month ago, the Glenora block on Toronto Street was literally destroyed by fire. And in fact, the past month has been particularly devastating for Winnipeg's early buildings. In addition to the Glenora, the Wilson apartment block was destroyed by fire on the 3rd of March. And the Guest block on Main Street was also destroyed on the 8th of March. The Guest, by the way, was a partial commercial building. And the first floor had commercial space. The upstairs were more residential. But and that leads to our next update, which relates to a discussion we had back in April of 2023 about the legacy of the Blankstein family.
Oh, remind us about the Blankstein family.
Well, they were architects. Mm-hmm. It's the family dynasty began with patriarch Max Blankstein. He arrived in Manitoba in 1904 and had a long and distinguished career as an architect. No fewer than three of his children became architects too. Unfortunately, we lost an example of Max Blankstein's design work when, back in February of this year, just a couple of months ago, a three-story brick warehouse on Jarvis Street that had actually been distinguished by a nice ghost sign on one of its sides, listing one of its former occupants, the Imperial Soap and Supplies Limited, was utterly destroyed by fire. I walked by the site the other day, and all that's left is a sad pile of burnt bricks. On a more positive note, though, our next day update involves adding historic buildings, not subtracting them. We're talking about lonely houses here in Winnipeg's downtown core.
Okay, that rings a bell, but reminds us again what that means.
Okay, well, a lonely house is a rare family home that still stands on a street where all the rest of the houses have been demolished and replaced by commercial structures. You know, in other words, that there's, you know, this odd house sort of sitting in amongst a bunch of other, you know, bigger and more substantial buildings. Well, back in September of 2023, I shared what I thought was a complete list of lonely houses within a quarter square mile of the city center here. My list had just three houses on it, two of which were on or close to Graham Avenue. However, my good friend Nathan Kramer, who is a dogged historical researcher, drew my attention to another lonely house that I'd missed on Graham, which is really kind of embarrassing because it was remarkably close to one of my other ones. I don't know why I didn't notice it. He also mentioned that a building at the corner of Gary and St. Mary, it now hosts Mitzi's Chicken Finger Restaurant, at least for the time being, because I've been told that it's going to be closing soon. He said, well, that building also is a former house. Well, I'm not convinced because I compared the Mitzi's building to a fire insurance map from the early 20th century. And I think that, you know, at some point in the past, that Mitzi's building replaced an earlier structure that was a house. So in other words, it wasn't an original lonely house. It was maybe not, I'm not saying it wasn't a house, but it may not be an original house in the same vein that the other ones were.
Got it. Okay, what's next?
Well, last November, I shared with our listeners a list of 10 places the Manitoba Historical Society recommended that the city of Winnipeg should add to its list of designated historic buildings. One of our recommendations was a small brick building in the Transcona Cemetery. It is a rare example of something called a winter vault, and that's where bodies were stored temporarily when the ground was frozen. Well, now there's even more reason to consider designating the Transcona Winter Vault because 2 months ago, the oldest winter vault in Manitoba, built in 1906 in the St. Mary's Catholic Cemetery on Osborne, was demolished.
Okay, so we're getting pretty close to recent episodes of Abandoned in Manitoba, but there are already changes?
Yes, indeed. You know, it's unfortunate, but at least they're not all bad. So in January, I talked about a monument in the extreme southwest corner of Manitoba, basically where Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and North Dakota all meet. That monument commemorated the formal survey that had marked the boundary between Manitoba and Saskatchewan at its southernmost extent, so like right literally at the boundary with North Dakota. I had heard that a corresponding monument had been installed at the northern limit of the interprovincial boundary too. Well, shortly after our conversation here, I had email from a listener who advised that, yes, indeed, there is such a monument. And much as I would love to visit the site, it is extremely remote, as you might imagine, and I would need a helicopter to reach it. Well, suffice to say that my non-existent budget for travel prevents me from ever seeing that monument, but I'm glad to know that it's there.
You need to sell more books. helicopters.
I'd have to sell one heck of a lot of books to charter a helicopter, I'm afraid. But our last update is very fresh. You know, it deals with our subject just 6 weeks ago. the now vacant Dominion Bridge plant on Dublin Avenue here in Winnipeg.
Okay, that one I remember. You'll be relieved
right,
to hear.
Right.
So something's changed about that site?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, I observed when we talked in late February that the windows, the doors of that old steel manufacturing plant were boarded up. And this is never a good sign. And I wondered if there this might be a precursor to demolition. Well, unfortunately, I was right. I'm sad to report that, in fact, I went by about 2 weeks ago and several large buildings were poised to begin tearing down the building. So I actually had brought my drone along and I therefore was able to get some final aerial views of this massive facility. And again, I'll emphasize that it contributed so significantly to the building of, well, much of Western Canada. You know, so it's sad to see it go, but, well, that's the nature of abandonment. Sometimes it just, you know, it disappears.
Yeah. All right, Gordon. Thank you for this. What's up for next week?
Well, the site in rural Manitoba where my family used to live can be described as 991 West. People who are not familiar with this system of land description may well ask, what does 991 West mean? And west of what? Well, next week, I will describe my efforts to find the long-lost site of the principal meridian. My family's farm was located west of it.
We're going to go back to your history. I look forward to it, Gordon. Thank you.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons